Good morning, all. Good to see you here. If you're visiting with us today, we're especially glad that you're here and hope you'll give us an opportunity to get acquainted and visit with you a little bit. But what I'm going to do this morning is kind of an annual rite of passage for us. I'm going to talk about the state of the church. You know, they do the State of the Union address. The president does that. The governor has the State of the State address. And I guess some of the big city mayors do a State of the City address. Does anybody know if there's going to be a State of Seminole address anytime soon? Have we got a State of Maud or a State of Earlsboro address going to come up? Well, never mind. We're going to do a State of the Church address, though. Each year I try to do this and kind of look backward to see what we did last year and try to look forward also. It's a little bit like a physical exam, you know. Y'all do your physical exams, right? You do your annual physicals. I get an annual physical every 3 years, whether I need it or not. You got to check in and make sure you're okay. Well, last year I encouraged some changes to be made, and you folks responded marvelously to that, and some changes were made, and some really, really good things happened as a result of all that, and that leads to some really encouraging benchmarks as we talk about what's going on. I want to be a little bit careful about this because we don't want to relax. We don't want to get complacent about our successes because growth really, I think, ought to be a lifelong process. Growth really is a lifelong process. It's biblical. It's commanded twice in the Scriptures. I don't know if you realize this. We just heard one that Gary read to us at the end of 2 Peter. There's another passage that sounds an awful lot like that in Ephesians. We're commanded to grow. But boy, the whole idea of growth is just kind of assumed in so many passages. In Colossians chapter 1, it comes up twice. In chapter 2, it comes up again. Over and over, in 2 Thessalonians, I think it's talked about the idea that we're going to continue to grow and progress and do well in our faith is just an assumption that's made in the Scriptures, and I think it's really important. Also, we're always inspired by these stories of people who just won't quit. They just continue to grow and develop. This is a picture of a woman who's drawing Social Security. She's over 65. She's also a recent graduate of St. Leo's University in Florida. And we're just kind of inspired by those stories, people who aren't willing to quit and just give up. They're going to continue to progress and do well. We like that spirit of optimism that they have, that there's a lot yet to do in life, and they're busy with that. Well, look here. Nobody has more right to optimism in the world than Christians. Okay, we have a greater right to optimism than anybody else does. So we want to grow in that too. But I want to take a look back at what we've done in the past year, and then we're going to take a look at our future also. But the whole idea is that we're not quitting, we're not giving up, we're going to continue to grow. So bear with me for just a moment. Let's talk about what happened in 2009. One thing that happened that's encouraging is our attendance went up. We were at 198 here in 2008. In 2009, it's gone up to 205 on average on Sunday morning. That's an increase it's an increase of 7. I didn't have to pull my shoes off for that one. Well, that's nice. That's good. The way that works is we're keeping better records. You have a certain number of people that you lose during the year. Regrettably, some people die. Some people move out. They have other things, job transfers sometimes take them away. So for one reason or another, we lost 16 souls last year, but we brought 25 in. We had a combination of baptisms and people who moved into the congregation, added 25 to us, and that's a difference of 9. But our attendance only went up 7. Where are the other 2? And the answer is they're what we call MIAs, missing in action. These are people who, for one reason or another, have stopped attending with us. Now, that is always upsetting to us. We don't want to hear about people who just stop coming. And yet, I just want to tell you that having 2 MIAs in the congregation is phenomenally good. I really think that the reason that's coming about, compared to other congregations really struggle with a lot more than that. But for one thing, we've been keeping a little bit more accurate records in the past few years, so I think we're able to account for some of the folks and understand really what's happening. So There's our attendance figures. Our attendance is up from 198 to 205 in 2009. Now, another good thing, or something that we need to understand, is the contribution. Our contribution in 2008, at the end of the year, on December 31st, when all the accounts are in, we had collected $130,262.22 more than our annual operating budget. We were plus $130,000. That works out to $43.73 per person in attendance on Sunday morning. That's really nice, but that's not sustainable. This year, 2009, we ended the year under budget. That is, what was budgeted, we did not contribute enough to meet the budget, and we missed it by $1,905.41. And that turns out to an average contribution of $32.71 per person in attendance on Sunday morning. Okay? Now, in addition to what is contributed each week, what we just took up here, in addition to that, we have also received some legacy gifts. That is, people have died and left money to the church in a will, and that's nice and that's helpful. That allows us to do some things in ministry that we wouldn't be able to do any other way. But we can't count on that, can we? I mean, we don't want you to die year by year and leave us your money, okay? I'm just saying. We can't count on that, so we can't budget for that sort of thing. Consequently, we really need to make our budget each week. We need to make that budget. We need to contribute enough to sustain our level of ministry. Now, also I want to say that in the middle of this past year, I made an appeal. I thought a lot of people just did not realize that we were not collecting enough money. So I made an appeal and asked if you could prayerfully consider increasing your contribution. Many people did, and consequently the shortfall was only $1,900. It could have been very, very, very much worse. So the elders have a big thank you to say to all of you who prayerfully considered that, and especially those who prayerfully considered it and did increase your contribution. If you're able to do that again this year, please, by all means, do. It's good for you if you can do that. Okay, so that's our contribution number. We had some developments in 2009 that were also really kind of interesting. We had some outreach events that took place, did our centennial celebration. This congregation has been in business for 100 years. So we had our centennial celebration, and a lot of folks worked really, really hard on that. Lee Stillwell was kind of spearheading that, but a lot of hands were involved in that centennial celebration. We went to the Made in Oklahoma Festival here in Seminole this year and gave out free water. It has our own label on there, so we got a little outreach tool there. We gave out a lot of water, and we'd have given out a lot more water if God hadn't decided to take a hand and give out some water too. We had torrential downpours at noon. That just washed the whole thing away. So we expect to stay involved in that and do something else there. Had the fall festival that went on back in October, Arpoca, and the parents got busy and had the fall festival back there. It was a good opportunity for the kiddos from the community to come in, meet us a little bit. Had the area-wide team gathering and on. A lot of outreach opportunities. We had some personal growth opportunities. Palmer and Judy Smith did the divorce care seminar this past year. I presume they're going to do it again this year. I actually haven't talked to them about that. I'm not signing a check for them. I'm just saying that I presume that they're going to continue that. We had Dr. Alan Martin here early in November for a family, strengthening family seminar. Fantastic material, really, really good. It was really difficult to get him here because he is on a very, he's a high demand kind of guy. There are a lot of people who want him. And our attendance was okay with that, but you know, the seminar was really designed and it was aimed at strengthening families who have children at home. And unfortunately, most of the people who didn't come to the seminar were families with children at home. Now, I don't know why the families with children at home decided not to come to a seminar that would help them with their children at home. But if you can explain that to me, if you've got children at home and you didn't come, and you can stop me and explain how it was that that didn't seem interesting to you, I'd like to know that, because you know we want to schedule outside events that are really going to be helpful. Okay, we thought Alan Martin was going to be helpful, and his material was outstanding. Honestly, everybody who was here for that had good things to say. One of the most interesting things that happened last year was Turkey Hotline. How many of you had a part in the Turkey Hotline? You did something, even if it was bringing a box of stuffing. All right, thank you. Brandy Adams and Sonny McRae got busy with a turkey hotline. Nobody else here would have thought of that, but they saw that program someplace else and got busy and served Thanksgiving dinners to 50 families with your help. It was a big deal, and I like that for a lot of reasons, and I'll have more to say about that. Missions work. We've got mission work. You know that we're involved with Cancun. We've been down to Palmer and Judy have gone down there, and I think Palmer alone went yet another time during the year. Others have been involved in the Cancun mission. That continues to bear good fruit down there. They've got a lot of exciting things happening around Cancun. Nicaragua, you know very well, we're involved in Nicaragua. Some of you have gone with me to Nicaragua. The good news is that Giovanni and Carolina and Gabriel Tellez will be here again next month. They're coming, and they're going to visit with us and some other congregations in the United States, but they've already bought their tickets, and they've got their visas, so we confidently expect to see them next month, and it's going to be a good time. Marty O'Donnell, all on his own, has introduced us to the idea of mission work in Guatemala because he's been involved in a mission work there for several years, continues to go, and this year he went to Guatemala at the same time I went to Nicaragua, and he's been busy doing eye care work there, and that's marvelous. We wouldn't have known about that work if Marty hadn't brought that to our attention. So we've got some number changes that happened in 2009, and that makes us feel good because we can track those things. Statistics are easy. But the real Christian growth doesn't happen in things like attendance and budget and things like that. The real Christian growth happens in you, in the change in your beliefs and practices and attitudes and lifestyle. I mentioned those things over and over and over again, but it's really true. That's where the Christian growth takes place. Your beliefs, practices, attitudes, and lifestyle. Those things are really hard to measure. We have a really difficult time keeping metrics on things like that. So we're just going to continue to move forward. Now let me talk about where we're going in 2010 just a little bit. First of all, evangelistic outreach is going to take on more importance than we really have devoted to it in the past. We're going to continue to have newspaper columns, apparently. I go ahead and I just email my bulletin article to the newspaper and they print it. I like that. It's easy on me and easy on them, and we get a little bit of publicity that way. I did say that I presume, and that's just a presumption, but I presume that Palmer and Judy are going to do the divorce care seminar again this year. That'll be good. Now, Oklahoma Christian is pressing for greater partnership and outreach this year. They're going to do a lot of different things. We don't really know what they're going to do, but they're going to make some resources available to us, and we're going to try to find out what's going on there. I expect to go there on Tuesday, and I may hear a little bit about that, but I'm really curious to see what kind of outreach help they're going to be. The one thing you notice that's absent from this is the television ads. We've been running television ads on our local cable service for, I think, 5 years. And we have ended that. Our contract ended at the end of December. We've ended that for a couple of reasons. One reason is it was never intended to be permanent. That was a kind of temporary idea. One method of doing advertising. Another reason we've ended it is because the prices kept increasing on the commercials. We were getting fewer and fewer and fewer spots for our money. So it seemed like it was best to just let that go, and we'll put our advertising revenue into something, some other kind of advertising. So we did not renew that contract. Evangelism always takes two parts, though. It takes invitation and it takes networking. So we're relying on you to invite your friends and the people that you're in a network with. And I got to tell you something that's really interesting to me that's going on. I don't know if you've noticed this. We've got this second adult class that goes on back here in the fellowship hall. And Jack Mattingly has taught that, and I think Palmer has taught it, and Steve Johnson has taught it. And there are some really interesting things. I don't know what they're doing back there, but I like it. I wanted to keep doing it because they've had a handful of baptisms out of that class just during the past few months. I don't know what's going on back there. Don't want to know. I like it. Just keep it going. You know, whatever's happening back there is a good, good thing. So we want that same kind of invitation and networking to go on back there. Evangelism is going to take a higher precedence in this coming year. In addition to that, we're going to stay involved in our missions and benevolence work. I've already mentioned that we're involved with Cancun, Mexico, and also with Nicaragua. We're also helping to support a missionary in Australia, the Whaleys. And we're also helping to support Frank Williams as he is involved in the Oklahoma City School of Biblical Studies. And so we're going to continue that kind of emphasis also. In connection with benevolence, I need to step over here and talk to you for a minute. Last year, the elders budgeted $6,000 in the year for local benevolence. Now, what that amounts to is things like helping someone with a utility bill, helping with prescription medication that they can't afford, buying some gasoline, helping, you know, there's some kind of immediate need, lodging for travelers and things like that. Okay. Last year, we didn't do an exact audit on this, but I sat and talked with Sid for just a moment. He's really good with facts and figures. I don't know if you're aware of that, but someone's aware of that. He's really good with this. So we visited about that for just a minute, and I said, how much did we actually spend? And between the two of us, we could remember that we had spent almost three times our annual budget on benevolent work last year. We didn't spend $6,000. We spent closer to $18,000 on local benevolence last year. Partly to blame because of the local economy. Part of it is we've got a great reputation around here. People know that we're a generous congregation and they come to us for help. There are other church organizations that send their members to us for help. And I'm not talking about the food in the pantry or the clothing in the clothing closet. That does not pass through the budget. You bring the food directly and we distribute it. You bring the clothing directly, we distribute it. In addition to that, though, we've spent more than $15,000 and possibly as much as $18,000 last year in benevolence. That's probably going to continue. But you know what? The only reason we even take up a contribution, the only biblical reason to accept money here is two reasons. One, preach the gospel. Number two, take care of the poor. That's the only reasons there are in the Bible for taking contributions. So I'm glad we're in a position to do that. And if we have to have a reputation in this town, I think a generous reputation is not a bad one to have. You know, I kind of like that. It could be a lot different. One more thing. Let me say in 2010, we're going to continue our emphasis on strengthening commitment to Jesus. So we've got a couple of interesting things that are going to happen. Connie and I are going to have a special Bible class on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. back here in the fellowship hall starting February 1st. So that's a Monday, so we're going to start February 1st. And it's just going to be a foundations kind of class. It'd be good for new Christians or people who have questions about some of the things that we do, why we do, what we're about, a refresher for some people. We've got 10 or 12 or 15 people that we're going to invite directly. And everybody's welcome to come. It's just going to be kind of a fun time. We'll spend about an hour. Somehow I feel confident in predicting cookies. But I don't know where that comes from. But I think we're going to have a good time and have a little time of Bible study. Just about some foundational topics there. Monday evenings at 7. We're going to continue to have Bible classes with meat in them. When we teach Bible classes here, I think we ought to get into the Scriptures and really dig deeply. And I think we've got some good things going on. We're going to keep that going on. One of the things that I think we need greater emphasis on is serving. Now, one of the reasons that I was so encouraged by the Turkey Hotline thing is because it wasn't an eldership program. They didn't dream that up. Sonny McRae and Brandy Adams got together and said, hey, we want to do this. And that's exactly what we're trying to encourage here, you know, service. We need to be people who serve one another in the name of Jesus Christ. So every member of the congregation ought to expect to be busy in service, okay? You ought to expect to be busy. And I want you to think about where your ministry will be. And on that note, Roberta asked me to put in one more plug for the involvement sheets. If you've not filled out your involvement sheet, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, do that and hand it into the office or hand it to one of the elders, hand it to me, hand it to somebody. We'll make sure that it gets in and the deacons in charge of the various service areas will know where they can count on you to help. But you should expect to be involved in service. Now, we don't expect explosive growth in 2010 by following this strategy, but we do expect long-term, stable, and sustainable growth that we can build on year by year by year. And so we think good things are going to happen in that in 2010. You see, the reason we want to do all this is because Jesus expects continuing growth in us. We're actually going to go to the Scriptures. How about that? Let's go to 2 Peter together, chapter 1. And I want to just show you verses 3 through 11. And just think about this emphasis that we have on growth and continued development for Christ. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 3 and just talk about some basic ideas. You know, if you're going to talk about growing something, it's not that hard, is it? You take the seeds and you stick them in the soil and they kind of take over from there. You know why? Because a plant has in it this thing called DNA. That's kind of the growth code. Tells it exactly what it's supposed to do. And as long as it can draw nutrients, have that process of growth, get the nutrients, get the water and so on, sunshine, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Eventually, it will bear fruit because that's what it does. It's not that tough. That's what we need, too. If we're going to have continued growth, we need those same kinds of things. First of all, we need to have a plan. You know what? We got a plan. Look at verse 3 and 4 with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, the Scriptures tell us everything we need for life and godliness. We've got the plan. We don't have to make the plan up. We're not going to change the plan. We're not going to revise the plan. The Scriptures tell us everything we need for life and godliness. It's all right there in the New Testament. So we've got the plan. Everything's in place. What's interesting to me, I'm interested in a lot of things, but one of the things that interests me is if you go back and look at the writings and thinking of philosophers, oh boy, from the ancient philosophers, Socrates and Thales and Plato and all those guys back in ancient Greece. Go on down through the medieval philosophers like Anselm and Aquinas. Come on down into modern philosophy, Heidegger and Kierkegaard and Sartre and all these guys today. And you look at all these things, they've got all these schemes for the improvement of humanity, and it has resulted in zero improvement of humanity. They've changed the answers over and over. One guy will say this, the other guy will say, that's ridiculous, it's got to be this way, and none of it works. But you know what? The gospel of Jesus Christ works. The gospel of Jesus Christ will change your life. You know that? If you are a Christian, you have seen Jesus change your life. We've got some people who've been baptized recently, and they're kind of in that explosive growth phase right now, where a lot of things are changing. And I say, you know, the gospel changes lives. They're sitting there going, yeah, changing my life, I'll tell you that. Well, that's what happens. The gospel really does change lives because we got the plan. It's right there in the Scriptures, everything we need for life and godliness. And there's no more that you need to say about that plan. We've got it. It's right there. We've got the plan. We've also got a process. Take a look at verse 5 and just watch this work out from verse 5 through verse 9 as this process comes together. For this very reason, so that we can escape the corruption of the world, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you see that growth process there? In increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You do not want to be one of those characters who knows about Jesus and knows about the Scriptures and can tell you these things, can explain to you why we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, but has no productivity in Christ. You don't want to be one of those ineffective and unproductive people who has some answers, but not much else. They don't have any change in beliefs, practices, attitudes, or lifestyle. You don't want to be one of those. You want to be kept from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. We got a process. You know what? We know how to do this. It's not a mystery. Again, we don't have to make it up on our own. It's all right here. We got the process. So we're going to add to our faith, knowledge, and brotherly kindness, and ultimately love all the way up there. There's the process. It's not that hard to understand. It really all starts with ordering your insides. Get your insides ordered right and the outsides will take care of themselves. Won't that always works that way? Get your beliefs and practices and attitudes in shape. Guess what? Your lifestyle will be there. It'll always come out that way. This is a peach tree. Connie and I have a neighbor in our neighborhood who several years ago decided she wanted some shade in her front yard, and she really liked the look of a particular variety of peach tree. But the good thing about it was it doesn't bear peaches. There's nothing to clean up. So kind of like that Bradford pear, you know. Looks nice, lots of shade, no pears. So she bought this peach tree, special variety of peach tree, and planted it in her front yard right there in an excellent location, a little bitty sapling about that big. Got that planted early in the spring, and by fall she had 5 peaches on it. She was furious about that, and that peach tree is not there now because she didn't want peaches, see? She just wanted the leaves. Well, the peach tree couldn't help it. This is DNA. He's just doing what peach trees do. What do peach trees do? They give peaches. It's right there in the DNA. Well, she took the DNA and stuck it in the ground. It got its nutrients. The process is right. You got peaches. It's what they do. Hey, what do you do with a Christian? You get the process right. You got the plan in place. What do you think's going to happen? They're going to grow. It's what they do. Because we got a goal, folks. Look at the goal in verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. And you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got a goal. We've got a calling. You know what we're called to? We're called to be like Jesus. I mean, we're called to be Christ-like. That's our calling. We've got an election, too. You know, election, the word election, in our minds, all tied up with politics, and you know, they're going to have some kind of election, somebody running for office. Election just means choice. That's all it means, choice. We are chosen people of God. We have a calling to be like Jesus, but that when we obey the gospel, we become God's people. We become the elect, the chosen. We have chosen to be followers of Jesus, and God chooses us to be His children. We have a calling and we have an election, and our eternal kingdom is to be in heaven with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's one of the sweetest promises we're going to find in the Scriptures. You know, I started talking about this plant analogy. But I want you to just imagine, watch this for just a second. Nobody takes a tomato seed and goes out here, sticks tomato seed in the ground and waters it, puts it out in the sunshine or under the growth light and, you know, starts to get that going, got everything. Because the DNA, you know, is in the tomato seed. It's right there. And then you put it in the soil and you water it. And nobody goes out there and plants the tomatoes and then suits up. You know, you got to get suited up. Suits up, walks out there and says, "Now, tomato plant, I want you to grow. Oh, grow, tomato, give me tomatoes there." Nobody does that. That's idiotic. It just does it because it's all right there in the DNA of the tomato. It's going to do it. Don't worry about that. The difference between tomatoes and Christians is that we can cooperate with the will of God or we can rebel against the will of God. He gives us that choice. And we're very familiar with that whole rebellion idea. That's called sin. But you know what? If a tomato refuses to grow, it dies. I don't know why that comes into my mind when I'm thinking about Christian growth, but it does. If a tomato refuses to grow, it's just going to die. Now, one of my goals this year is to be a little bit more positive and optimistic. I like this little gal's enthusiasm. She found out she got a tooth. So she's giving you a thumbs up there. She got a tooth, man. That's enthusiasm. That's optimism. I like that. I think I'm going to have some fun with that. One of the most optimistic things you can do in your life is to grow spiritually. Because you got to get in shape for that eternal kingdom in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got to get ready for that, okay? because that's where it's really going to happen. This is just training, you know, we're going to get there. We've got a short time on this earth, and then we're going to be with Him for eternity. Now's our opportunity to grow and grow spiritually. So we're going to sing an invitation song and give you an opportunity right now to begin that process of growth. If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel this morning, just like LaDonna did yesterday. She was baptized for the forgiveness of her sins. Well, you can do the same thing because you believe, your beliefs are there. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're convinced that He's the Son of God. You're convinced that He's the Savior of your life. You're willing to repent of sin, change your practices. Repent of sin, start doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. You're willing to confess His name before men. You're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Enact His death, His burial, His resurrection from the dead. Guess what? You're into a new lifestyle. Your whole life is going to change. You're raised then to walk in newness of life because the blood of Jesus has cleansed your sin. If you're not a Christian, you can do that this morning. Start brand new. Now, if you are a Christian, you've made the covenant with Christ in the past, and you never really thought about it, but come to think of it, you have been ineffective and unproductive. And you know why? Because you haven't grown one iota. You may know all the answers, but you're not doing it. You need to do it. You need to repent. You need to turn it around. Stop doing the wrong thing. Start doing the right thing. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. He is patient and good and kind and will forgive. Full of grace. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand and sing the song.